Magandang araw po sa inyong lahat. Alvin Litono po, naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga pastors ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series on the Gospel according to Mark. Kung naalala po niyo yung last week, after ni Jesus magturo ng buong araw sa mga tao, niyaya niya mga disciples na tumawid from the western side ng Sea of Galilee papuntang pong eastern side. And during this trip, they've encountered a violent storm that Jesus supernaturally calmed by the word of his command. Ang naramdaman ng mga disciples dito were great fear that led them to ask this question: who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ngayong araw po na ito, malalaman po natin ang kasagutan sa tanong ng mga disciples na ito. At muli natin masasaksihan kung gaano kadakila at makapangyarihan at ang otoridad ng Panginoon Hesukristo. Ang ating main point ngayong araw na ito is this: Jesus is above all spiritual forces. In Him, we find true freedom. Jesus is above all spiritual forces. In Him, we find true freedom. We have divided this passage into four different headings. Number one, a demonic possession, verses 1-5. Number two, a demonstration of power, verses 6-13. Number three, a distress public, verses 14-17. And number four, a different purpose, verses 17-20. Umpisahan po natin yan sa first point po natin, a demonic possession. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 1, basahin natin. They came to the other side of the sea, to the countryside of the Gerasenes. Ang lugar po ng Gerasenes refers to a small town called Gerasa o Kursi, na kung saan matatagpuan malapit sa eastern side ng Sea of Galilee. Tinawag po itong Country of Gerasenes dahil bahagi ito ng region at saka jurisdiction ng City of Gadara. Karamihan na nakatira dito ay mga Hintil or Gentiles. And when we say Gentiles, ito ay mga hindi-Hudyo. Ang pagpunta ni Jesus sa Gerasenes tells us of his heart for the nations. Thus, anticipate Gentile missions. Pagbaba nila sa shores ng Gerasenes, isang hindi pangkaraniwang nakaganapan ang nangyari. Tingnan po ninyo yung verse 2. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Nakita ni Jesus isang mama na sinasapian ng masamang espiritu. Bagamat sa Matthew chapter 8 verse 28, dalawa ang nabanggit na mama na sinasapian ng masamang espiritu, pero sa accounts ni Mark at saka ni Luke, they chose to focus only on one of them, probably because this one is more prominent than the other. This is also the third time sa account po ni Mark na naka-encuentro si Jesus ng mga nasasapian. Yung unang encounter po niyan is yung sa chapter 1 verse 25 na nandoon po siya sa Capernaum sa loob po ng synagogue habang po nagpe-preach. At yung pangalawa naman po matatagpuan sa chapter 3 verse 11 by the Sea of Galilee. The time sa Gentile region, itong passage natin ngayon is more of naka-focus sa area ng mga Gentiles. Mark here gives a clear description of the appearance and life of this demoniac. Tingnan niyo po yung verses 3-4. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Now, verse 3 tells us na nakatira itong mamang ito sa sementeryo o sa libingan ng mga patay. Now, pag sinabi pong libingan o cemeterio po rito or tombs, hindi po ito yung tipong libingan ng mga patay sa panahon po natin ngayon, na kung saan naghuhukay at tapos binabaon po yung bangkay at tinatabunan at nila pinapatungan ng punton. Hindi po. Ang libingan that was mentioned here are like cave-like rooms that was carved out from the hillsides. So parang isang maliit siya na kuweba at doon po nilalagay ang mga dead, ang mga corpse. Mapapansin din na mayroon siyang pambihirang lakas. Wala sa taong bayan ang may lakas o may kakayanan na pigilan itong mamang ito. Ultimo, ang kadenang bakal na nakatali sa kanyang kamay at sa kanyang paa ay madali-dali po niyang nasira o nawasak. According as sa Luke chapter 9 verse 29, nabanggit na they have placed even guards para bantayan po siya o restrain him. Pero even these trained guards were not sufficient enough para i-restrain itong demon-possessed na mama na ito. I remember years ago, one of my pastor friends invited me to help perform an exorcism or to cast out a demon from an elderly lady. I remember when we entered that room, I saw her lying in a bed. And clearly, makikita nyo po na wala siya sa, hindi siya yung tao na kilala naming lahat. She was skin and bones and her eyes were just all popped out really wide, nakatitik sa amin. We started to pray and read scriptures. Tapos biglang nagwala siya na kung saan na kinakailangan po namin siya i-restrain. I was tasked to hold down yung left arm po niya sa kama kasi nga she was already hurting herself. And yung kaibigan ko sa paan, tapos yung ibang kasamaan ko dun sa kanan. And I'm telling you, this is the first time that a 70 plus year old woman na hollow skin and bones na habang hinahawakan ko with all my weight and force sa kanyang braso, I witness her lifting my arms in full strength. Man, we were terrified because we know that we are dealing with something na hindi normal, but something that is demonic. Similarly, the people were afraid of this demoniac. Marahil ito ang ginagamit ng mga magulang panakot sa kanilang mga anak paggabi kapag sila hindi sumusunod. Hala ka, junior, kapag ikaw hindi inumin tong gatas na ito, hindi ka magsisipilyo, o hindi ka matutulong na maaga, hindi ka susunod sa akin, lalapit sa'yo si demoniac at kakainin ka niya. Marahil ito yung panakot. Ito siguro yung mga madalas na papagkwentuhan sa mga tambay na kung saan na kaya gusto nila lahat matulog ng maaga at magsarado. People were afraid of him because they could not restrain him. This man was out of control. Tingnan niyo po sa verse 5. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Buong magdamag, wala po siyang ginawa kung hindi humiyaw, sumigaw, at sakta ng sarili niya using sharp stones. Just a side note po, ano? Cutting oneself or self-mutilation ay hindi po bago sa panahon natin ngayon. Lalo na sa mga teenagers. And clearly, itong activity na ito is partly demonic influence. So this man was cutting himself, which exposes yung tunay na intent ng mga demons. And that is to destroy this poor man who was created in the image of God. The way Mark described him here is as if that he was a wild beast, isang mabangis na hayop. Nung inaaral ko po itong passage ito for the past days, hindi po takot ang nangibabaw po sa akin kung hindi awa or compassion. This man is crying out for help. Itong mamang ito na nagtatakbo, na nakahubad, nasasaktan na niya marahil unintentionally ang kanyang mga mahal sa buhay, nasasaktan na niya ang kanyang sarili, iniiwasan ng taong bayan at marahil pinababayaan na ng kanyang pamilya. Araw at gabi pinarurusahan siya ng mga masasamang espiritu at ang pagsigaw niya ng buong magdamag ay maaaring isang sigaw ng pagsaklolo. A desperate cry for help. He is a harm to the community. He is a harm to himself. Kung sa panahon natin ito sa Pilipinas, marahil ay pinasok na po yan sa isang mental na institusyon. O kaya naman ay pinabayaan na po sa lansangan na tipong isang taong grasa na naglalakad-lakad po sa kalsada. He is hopeless, helpless. No one has the power to save him, not even himself. He is clearly enslaved by the forces of evil. Mga kaibigan, maaari nandito kayo ngayon, pinapanood ito, naiisip ninyo, oo, tama, pastor. Malala ang kalagayan ng mamang ito and desperately needed Jesus. True. Pero teka muna, mga kaibigan. We must understand that we are no different sa mamang ito. Itong mamang ito ay isang larawan ng kalagayan nating lahat apart from God. Maring hindi lahat tayo ay nasasapian ng masamang espiritu, but apart from Christ ang lahat ay kontrolado at nasa ilalim ng kapangyarihan ng prinsipe ng kadiliman at alipin ng kasalanan. We are all enslaved to sin and Satan. According kay Alistair Begg, he is a tragic illustration of the human condition apart from God. Paul writes to the Ephesians, who are, as he currently writes them, are followers of Jesus Christ, and then reminds them of their former condition bago sila niligtas ng Panginoon Jesus Christ. At ito pong sinabi niya sa Ephesians 2:1-2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. At meron pa kong isang passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Itong mga verses na ito would have best described itong mamang demonyak na ito. Ngunit si Paul ginamit niya itong passage na ito upang ilarawan ang kondisyon ng mga Ephesians at saka Colossians bago sila nagkaroon ng kalayaan kay Kristo. Mga kaibigan, the human condition apart from God is enslaved to sin and Satan. We do not have the strength, the ability, nor the resources to save ourselves, to set ourselves free from this enslavement. No human could. Maaring nandito ko ngayon at masasabi mo, ikaw ay isang taong edukado, namumuhay ng tama, marangal at relyoso. At kung sinasabi mo, malayo pastor ang kondisyon ko sa demon-possessed man na yan. Kung yun po ang sinasabi natin, din dito pa lang mga kaibigan, nagiging delikado na po ang ating kalagayan. Dahil sa tayo ay marangal, edukado at relyoso, hindi na natin nakikita na alipin din ang kasalanan ng tayo at ng kaaway. Hindi na din natin nakikita ang pangailangan natin sa kalayaan, sa pagkaalipin ng mga kasalanan ito. Apart from God, we are educated slaves. Responsible slaves and even religious slaves, we are still slaves to sin and Satan. Well, to some of us, the need for freedom is more obvious. Maaring nandito ka ngayon at gaya ng demon-possessed man, you cry out day and night, and you're praying that you would be set free from the enslavement of pornography. Or maybe you're trapped in an unholy relationship and you want out but you just can't. O nalulunod ka na sa bisyo mo ngunit nahihirapan kang humiwalay dito. O pagod ka na sa pamumuhay ng kasinungalingan at pagkukunwari ngunit nahihirapan ka magbago. Or you are already choking sa materialism. That's why your eyes are chained sa smartphones and computer mo, trying to quench your thirst sa iyong susunod na purchase. Or you are enslaved by the opinions of others. You do all that you can to make everyone like you, to make everyone like your posts, like your pictures, like your memes, like your thoughts in social media. And you are just tired. You want out. Mga kaibigan, kung ikaw to, then we are no different from the demon-possessed man. We are enslaved. We do not have the power to set ourselves free. We do not have the power to change. We need power that is stronger than ours. We need power that will set us free from this powerful enslavement. At saan po natin matatagpuan yung kapangyarihan na ito or yung power na ito na mapapalaya tayo sa mga ito? Well, let's look at yung point number 2 po natin. A demonstration of power. Basahin po natin ang verses 6 to 7. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Nung pagkababa ni Jesus sa kanyang bangka, napansinan niya itong mamang ito ay hindi normal. Alam na niya na kargada ito ng mga masasamang espiritu. Kaya malayo pa lang itong mama na to, ayon sa verse 8, Jesus was already casting out the demons. At ito po yung dahilan kung bakit tumakbo itong mama na to papunta kay Jesus Christ. Lumuhod and started begging him not to be cast out. This man that people considered as strong and powerful feared Jesus. Here's an interesting contrast. When the disciples of Jesus saw how he calmed the storm, how Jesus supernaturally calmed the storm, in fear they asked, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" At ang nakakamangha po dito, sinagot ng mga demons ang tanong nilang ito sa harapan nila when the demons accurately addressed Jesus, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." Interesting. Dalawang nilalang pa lamang po so far sa inaral natin sa Book of Mark ang nakakuha po ng tamang sagot patungkol po sa identity ni Jesus. Una, si God the Father sa chapter 1 verse 11 nung si Jesus ay nabaptize, ito po ang sinabi ni God the Father sa verse 11 ng chapter 1. "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." At ang pangalawa naman ay yung mga demons sa chapter 1 verse 24 at sa passage na binasa natin ngayon sa verse 7 ng chapter 5. At hindi lang yun, the demons also know that they will be judged by Jesus. Look at verse 7. "I adjure you by God, do not torment me." In short, ang sinasabi niya, swear to me sa pangalan ng Diyos, huwag mo kami parusahan. Sabi naman sa Matthew 8:29, sinabi nila, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" They even know na sa second coming ni Jesus Christ sila katulad at hindi yung first coming na ito. They know. So friends, what does this teach us? This teaches us na hindi porket tama at marami tayong nalalaman about Christology, eschatology, theology proper, or any mere intellectual assent about God, ay nangangahulugan na meron na po tayong saving faith. Hindi po ito basihan. Hindi po basihan yung marami tayong nalalaman at pinaniniwalaan. And James makes that clear point. Sabi sa James chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So, what is, Pastor, what is genuine faith? Well, genuine faith, it is the belief in the essential truths concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. Trusting that Jesus' finished work on the cross justifies the ungodly and sets the captives free. And as a result of God's regenerating power, this person will evidence his faith by walking in obedience to Christ and His Word. Yung po yung evidences, marks ng genuine faith. Verse 9 in chapter 5. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Ang Legion po is not really a number, but hindi talaga pangalan, but a number of soldiers. A legion is a Roman military term that means a battalion of 5 to 6,000 soldiers. So, ito po ang situation ng mamang ito. This means that this man alone is inhabited by 5 to 6,000 evil spirits. We have no idea kung paano po lahat sila nagkasya doon sa isang katawan na yon, but that's what it takes for them to torment one soul. Mark is trying to make it clear sa kanyang Roman readers at sa atin that this demon-possessed man that no human or chains can bind is matchless, helpless, powerless against Jesus. It's not even a competition. And since they are no match against Jesus, anong ginawa nila? Did they even try na labanan siya? Well, tignan po natin ang verse 10 to 13. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank in the sea and drowned in the sea. Hindi na sila nag-effort pang lumaban. They know their place. Now, hindi natin alam kung bakit ayaw nilang umalis sa region na ito. Marahil siguro gusto nila magpatuloy sa pag-exercise ang kanilang power and dominion sa Gentile region na ito. Now, pagdating naman po sa mga baboy, Mark and the other gospel accounts did not provide a reason kung bakit gusto nilang magpalipat sa mga baboy. However, we do know is that a pig is considered an unclean animal ng mga Jews. They would not touch it, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8. They would not even eat it. They're not allowed because it's unclean, sabi sa Leviticus 11, 7 to 8. Pero sa Gentile region na ito, this was good business. Maraming pig farms or piggeries dito kasi pork is a huge demand sa Decapolis. And so the demons beg Jesus to be sent to the pigs. And surprisingly, Jesus ay pinahintulutan niyang gawin nila ito. Umabot ho sa halos 2,000 baboy ang nagtakbuhan sa gilid ng matarik na bangin hanggat nahulog sila lahat sa lawa at nalunod. Isipin nyo na lang, ano? 2,000 baboy na napatay na baboy na lumulutang sa lawa. That would be a sea of dead pigs. And chillingly, ito po talaga ang tunay na intent ng demons, is to torment and destroy and kill itong mamang ito. And this is no surprise, sabi sa John 10:10. The thief comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief there is Satan. Now, what does this tell us about Jesus? Well, first of all, Jesus has power and authority over demons. Si Jesus ay nasa isang Gentile na lugar that was considered unclean, surrounded by unclean animals, faced off by an unclean man who is living in the tombs, which was also considered unclean, in Numbers chapter 19, who is also inhabited by unclean spirits. Kung inisisip natin, may advantage sa lahat ng angulo ang mga demons na ito. But they were powerless against Jesus. The demons cannot do anything what they want to do. They cannot go anywhere they wish to go. Bakit? Because Jesus has power and authority over demons. Jesus is sovereign over all demons. Ikalawa, Jesus has compassion over this man's wretched soul. Jesus has compassion over this man's wretched soul. This man was dead to his sin, his enslaved to sin and Satan. He doesn't have the strength or power to set himself free. He is helpless, hopeless, lifeless. Well, technically, he is a dead man walking. Jesus, filled with compassion, granted him mercy and grace and set him free from this demonic slavery. Jesus tells his disciples, so Luke chapter 12, verse 7, that they are worth more than many sparrows. Pero dito, Jesus is saying na ang isang kaluluwa ng tao ay higit pa sa 2,000 baboy. Friends, gaya ng nabanggit ko, we are no different from this man. Sabi sa Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us by nature are sinners. We are all by nature God haters. We love to sin. That's why we are unable to let it go. Our nature goes back to it. It longs for it. Gusto na natin makawala, pero hinahanap-hanap pa din po natin. We can control sin, but sin clearly controls us. We are slaves by it. At dahil sa ganito, ang ating kondisyon, we end up hurting others, even end up hurting ourselves. Like the demoniac, we scream out of desperation. We scream, we shout for help. But God, who is rich in mercy, and because of His great love for us, sends a liberator. He sends a liberator to free us from the slavery of sin. He sent Jesus, the Son of the Most High. He lived a life that none of us could, a life of perfect obedience to God the Father. But he was falsely accused and was sentenced to death by the people that he came to save. Jesus was mocked, slapped, spat on, beaten, crowned him with thorns. On that tree he hung there naked and was carrying the weight of our sins. On that tree he cried out to the Father for mercy. Mercy, not for himself, but for his enemies. When he said, so Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On that tree, he paid our sins in full. He satisfied the wrath of God. He died. But on the third day, he has risen from the grave. God the Father raised him from the dead, proving that his sacrifice is satisfactory, that death has no hold on him anymore, that sin and Satan is defeated. Christ's power was demonstrated on that cross.
Friends, this is our only hope for forgiveness, for salvation, for liberation. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Friends, I urge you, be free. Repent from your sins. And trust Jesus Christ and His wonderful work on the cross for salvation, for forgiveness, for liberation. The demons were cast out and the demon-possessed man was set free. He was healed. This was a miracle. There should be rejoicing. Ang taong bayan ay dapat magdiwang dahil wala na ang mama na, na parang mabangis na hayop na kinakatakutan nila. Tapos na ang problema nila sa na kung saan tuwing gabi sila ay natatakot maglakad. There should be celebration, but what happened? How did the townspeople respond? Let's look at our third point. A distressed public. Let's read verse 14. The herdsman fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see it was that had happened. Yung mga tagapangalaga ng baboy ay nanakbo at pinamalita ang pangyayari sa taong bayan. Kinuwento na gumaling na ang demonyak at ang mga nalunod na baboy ay 2,000. So yun ang kwento po na nilabas nila. Dahil sa marahil kilala ang demonyak na to, ang taong bayan ay naging curious at gusto nilang makita kung totoo nga ang pangyayaring ito. Kung totoo nga ba na may 2,000 baboy na lumulutang napatay sa lawa. At pagpunta nga po nila, hindi sila nabigo. Nasaksihan po nila ito. Tingnan niyo yung verse 15. And they came to Jesus and saw a demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. Nakita ng taong bayan si Jesus na kung saan katabi niya na nakaupo yung legion or yung dating demonyak. Marahil hindi nila ito nakilala dahil hindi na ito nakahubad kung hindi nakasuotan ng isang matinong damit. Nakasuotan. Hindi na siya nagwawala. Kalmado na siyang nakaupo. At marahil nakikinig sa mga pangaral ni Jesus. Siya ay nasa katinuan na ng kanyang pag-iisip. Mga kaibigan, ito po ang tunay na larawan ng taong niligtas ng Panginoon. Isang taong niligtas ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Obvious ang pagbabago. Kitang-kita na hindi na sila katulad ng dati. Yun ang mga taong naligtas. Friends, if we claim that Jesus saved us from our sins and have a new relationship with Him, then we should also say that we now have a new relationship with sin. Kung dati ay pinagtatawanan po natin ang mga nagawa natin kasalanan, dapat ngayon pinagdadalamhatian na po natin. Kung dati po ay kinagigiliwa natin, ngayon dapat ay kinamumunghian na po natin. Kung dati ay welcome na welcome ito sa atin, ngayon ay dapat pinaglalabanan na natin. If we say we have a growing affections towards Christ, we should also say that we have a growing hatred towards sin and wilderness and the worldliness. Mga kaibigan, kung sinasabi po natin na tayo ay niligtas ng Panginoong Jesus, nakikita ba po ito sa pamumuhay mo? Nadidinig ba po ito sa mga salita na namumutawi sa iyong labi? Kapag nakaharap tayo sa tukso o sa isang mabigat na suliranin, napapansin ba ng mga nakakakita ang pagkakaiba ng iyong reaksyon bilang mananampalataya? O sasabihin ba nila, Kristiyano daw, pero hindi halata? Kitang-kita ng taong bayan ang pagbabago sa dating demonyak na ito. Ngunit, imbis na magdiwang at magpasalamat kay Jesus, iba ang naging reaksyon nila. Tingnan niyo po sa verse, second part of verse 15 hanggang 17. Etong kanilang reaksyon, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to him what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region.
Hindi po sila natuwa, hindi po sila nagdiwang, natakot po sila.
It did not result to faith but in fear. Maring natakot sila dahil hindi pa sila nakakakuinkwentro ng ganitong klaseng kababalaghan. They knew they tried everything to restrain the former demoniac. Tapos with just a word of command from Jesus, the demons left.
Abay, nakakatakot itong mamang ito. Hindi natin kilala, kung hindi natin alam kung ano pa ang pwedeng gawin na kababalaghan ng mamang ito. Marahil ang kanilang sinasabi.
Tapos ito pang insidente sa mga baboy. Dahil sa kagagawa ni Jesus na ito, malaki ang nawala nila economic, sa kanya, malaki ang economic loss ng kanilang na-experience. 2,000 ding baboy ang talo nila. The thought of keeping Jesus around could jeopardize their business. Marahil may mga superstitious beliefs pala siguro sila naiisip patong kay Jesus na kung mananatili si Jesus dito, baka malasin ang ating negosyo. Kaya mas mabuti na lang na siya ay paalisin. Kung ano man ang pinag-uugatan ng kanilang takot, ito po ay nagresolba, it this resulted for them to beg Jesus to leave the region. These people had witnessed the supernatural, a healing of a demon-possessed man, but instead of rejoicing, celebrating, thanking, and praising Jesus, they rejected him and requested him to leave. Friends, this should remind us with a couple of things. Unang-una, we should learn to rejoice and celebrate when a person comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Kung meron po tayong kamag-anak, kumahal sa buhay, o kapatid, kaibigan, na pinamalita sa atin at sila po ay nakakilala na sa Panginoon Hesus Kristo, trusted Him for their salvation, we should learn to celebrate and praise God with them. And this is exactly yung nararamdaman nating Diyos Ama when one sinner repents. So Luke chapter 15 verse 10. There is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Rejoice at huwag tayong maging voice of skepticism and discouragement. Let us not be the person na magsasabi, nako, hanggang simula lang yan. Nako, yan ka na naman. Yan naman lagi ginagawa. Tapos kinabukasan, after 1 week, balik ka na naman sa dati mo. Hindi totoo yan. Lagi, nakailang tanggap ka na kay Kristo. Eh, hanggang ngayon, hindi ka naman nagbabago. Wala yan, hindi totoo yan. Man, as much as it is true na ang fruit ng genuine faith is transformed life, we should still hope in Christ that their faith would produce genuine fruit sa kanilang pamumuhay, that the Lord would cause them to persevere. But let's not be, friends, let us not be a voice of discouragement. Let us not be a voice that would provide skepticism. Another way to celebrate people who came to faith in Christ is to be present in their baptism. Baptism is a one-time symbol of one's individual entrance into the body of Christ.
Isa sa mga inaabangan natin dito as a Crossroads family is yung baptism service where we gather on ng isang Monday night, we sing songs together, we read scripture together, we hear a sermonette, and we listen to yung tinatawag na conversion stories ng mga taong mababaptize, and we just enjoy celebrating together as we witness them making that step of obedience kay Jesus Christ and His command through water baptism. So friends, we long to see that sometime soon.
Ikalawa, we must be prepared to be rejected. We must be prepared to be rejected because not all will rejoice in what God has changed in us.
Hindi lahat ng tao ay matutuwa sa pagbabago na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon.
The townspeople rejected Christ and His liberating work on the former demoniac, probably They wish na hindi na lang binago ni Kristo itong mamang ito because of their loss of profit or fear of losing more profit. Kung hindi binago siguro ni Kristo, siguro buhay pa yung 2,000 baboy. Siguro maganda pa rin yung kitaan natin, pero nung ginawa niya, ito nangyari. So they were not happy. They were angry. They were fearful. Friends, what changes did God make in your life that people feared or hated? Let me ask that again. What changes did God make in your life that people feared and hated?
Mga kaibigan, dahil ba sa pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay mo, natatakot na ang mga kliyente mo na natatakot na ang mga kliyente mo dahil alam nila na hindi ka na tumatanggap ng suhol o hindi ka na nakikikonsaba sa mga kasama mo sa trabaho sa pandaraya o pagnanakaw? Dahil ba sa pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay mo, nagagalit na ba ang girlfriend o boyfriend mo dahil pinang-iingatan mo na ngayon ang iyong purity? Dahil ba sa pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay mo, naiinis na ba ang pamilya mo sa iyo dahil ngayon nag-develop ka ng certain habits at saka discipline sa pag-aaral at pakikinig ng salita ng Diyos as one family? Dahil ba sa pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay mo, nagagalit na ba ang mga barkada mo dahil hindi ka na nakikisama sa kanilang mga bisyo? Involved ka ba sa isang maling relasyon? At dahil ba sa binago ka ng Panginoon, natatakot ang karelasyon mo na baka iiwan mo na siya? Friends, be prepared to be rejected because not all will rejoice in what God has transformed in your life. But take heart, rely on the Lord, and persevere. Persevere. God will care for you. Because God didn't just give you a new life, but He also gave you a new purpose, which is your number 4 and last. A different purpose. Let's read verse 18 hanggang 19. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him. The townspeople begged Jesus to leave them. Samantalang ang dating demonyak naman begged Jesus na isama siya sa grupo niya. What's interesting is this, yung term na ginamit ni Mark dito na that he might be with him is the same term na ginamit sa chapter 3 verse 14 na kung saan si Jesus appointed the 12 disciples so that they might be with him. The former demoniac, in short, desires to live his life by following Jesus. In short, he wants to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He wants to be part of the group of 12 men. He could be the 13th guy. Yun ang kanyang nasa isip. And this is, friends, listen, this is a distinguishing mark of a truly regenerated individual. Ang tunay na niligtas, pinalaya ng Panginoon Jesus Cristo, will desire to live the rest of their lives following Jesus. Ngunit nireject ni Jesus ang request na ito. Hindi ba maganda yan, Pastor? Bakit nireject ni Jesus? Well, Jesus, probably for a few reasons. Una, maaaring buo na kasi yung inner circle ng discipleship team ni Jesus, if you may. There's already existing 12 Jewish men, so I think that was already ordained by God. Second, hindi siya handa to take in a Gentile disciple with him. Hindi pa ito probably ang tamang panahon kasi Jesus was first called to the lost sheep of Israel, which is in Matthew 15:24. And third, the reason why Jesus did not include him or hindi niya sinama, it's because he has a different purpose for him. He has a different purpose for him. Ang tunay na disciple or follower ni Jesus will have at least 2 of this distinguishing mark. Ito po yun. First, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, obeys His word. Obeys His word. When the former demoniac, instead na sumama kay Jesus, and Jesus, na gustong sumama kay Jesus, at sinabi ni Jesus, "No, maiwan ka," he could have said, "Teka, Jesus, bakit? Bakit mo kay Juan? Di ba mas maganda at magiging compelling yung ministry mo of preaching pag naalaman nila na may isang dating demonyak na kinlens mo, na pinagaling mo? Bakit ganun, Jesus? Di ba mas compelling yon? Mas maraming maniniwala sa mga claims mo. Pero hindi sinabi ng dating demonyak yon. Instead, the former demonyak listened and obeyed. He obeyed. Mga kaibigan, listen. If we say that we are followers of Jesus, then we must learn to listen and obey. Listen and obey God's word. And be discerning enough to follow His will kahit hindi ang sagot niya sa mga panalangin natin. We cannot become a follower of Jesus in our own terms. Or if we kept on following our own rules, desires, and plans. Friends, if you're here right now and you're in the middle of a big decision, nasa gitna ka na isang decision making, and you are unsure kung anong kalooban ng Panginoon, you prayed about it, you read scripture, maybe it's time for you to talk to an elder about this. For these past weeks, it has always been a joy for me every time our members call one of the elders and just have a conversation kung anong plano sa kanila ng Panginoon. Especially when it comes to terms of whether to stay sa Dubai or maybe it's time to fly home. Second, go and become a witness. First, a true disciple obeys his word. Second, he goes and becomes a witness. Look at verse 19 to 20. But he said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." Jesus has a different plan and purpose in mind para sa mamang ito. Gusto ni Jesus na balikan niya ang kanyang mga pamilya, mga kamag-anak, mga kaibigan, and to share to them kung anong ginawa ni Jesus sa kanya and how he has received His rich mercy and grace. In short, gusto ni Jesus na share niya ang mga tao na malapit sa kanyang buhay, the people who loves Him, the people He loves, the people who He has an immediate influence with. He wants this man to share the good news ng ginawa ni Jesus Christ sa kanya. Friends, the application sa part na ito is too obvious. When Jesus saved us, He saved us to a new life and a new purpose. We are now to live our lives for the glory of Christ, and for us to do that, we must become a witness to the truth of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. Friends, panahon na to be a witness for Christ sa ating pamilya, sa ating anak, sa ating mga magulang, lolo, lola, tita, tito, mga pamangkin, mga kaibigan, sa mga tao na may immediate relationship at influence tayo, even sa mga taong hindi nating gusto makasama. We must share the hope that we have in Christ in hopes that the Lord's mercy would fall on them. Friends, kung gusto ninyo maabot ang mga mahal niyo sa buhay, one of the best ways to do it is this, is to invite them sa gathered assembly of God's people. In short, invite them to the local assembly, which is the church. Naniniwala tayo na ang church is the gospel made visible, where the gospel is corporately read, the gospel is corporately sang, the gospel is corporately prayed and preached, and seen through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. A community of people where the gospel is fleshed out. So friends, we long for that day na we would invite once again yung mga kaibigan natin sa ating public gathering. So pray. Pray that it would be safe enough and even time for us na muling magsama-sama tayo. Here's a good tip. Since we are all in Zoom and whatever video platform that you are in, I encourage you to keep meeting people online Bible studies. especially if they are from around the region, and from the time na magbukas na po ang ating public gathering, that would be a great time for them, for you to invite them sa local assembly. Ang dating demonyak hindi po nahinto sa pamilya at kaibigan niya sa pag-share. Look at verse 20. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Decapolis, deca means 10, na kung saan nakuha natin yung salitang dekada. Decapolis means 10 cities. So he shared the good news of Jesus' transforming power in 10 different cities. That's amazing. At lahat ng nakarinig sa kanyang patotoo ay namangha. Bagamat wala pong evidences na nagsasabi yung pagkamangha ng tao ay nag-lead sa trust kay Jesus. But one thing that we need to admire is this man was on fire. He became an evangelist sa mga Gentiles sa time na ito. Friends, because of the mercies of God, we are set free from the bondage of sin and Satan. Praise God. We now have a new life and a new purpose. As followers of Jesus, we have been commissioned by Jesus in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations. We are to go and preach the gospel. We should go and make Jesus known to the watching world. We do not need to fear dark forces because Jesus is above all spiritual forces. In Him we find true freedom. To that end, let us pray. Father, thank you. Because of Christ's finished work on the cross, we have been set free and are no longer subjected to sin's slavery. Father, help us to respond with heartfelt gratitude as we proclaim the fame of your name so that many would live for the glory of your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.